The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, believe it or not, can you believe it? It's the middle of July. It's the 16th of July, 2016. And go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. It's basically meant to think. You know, take action, commit to something. You know, this is the whole thing, and this is what we talk about on the show. It's so vital and important. Secondly, go out and download. Well, you can download this, but our two biggest products to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. If you like the philosophy here, if you like something explained all the way through, if you like modules that are going to talk about some of the old lifts, the prime lifts that you don't see much anymore, you know, whether it's stone lifting, sandbag, dead stop, anything out of the power rack, the old school York iron boots. Go out and look up J.C. Heiss, Heiss Shrugs, how to do them, execute them, on and on and on. It's all there. It's reasonably priced. And I'll tell you what, no 90-day fixes. We're talking decades. Good times, building, going out mentally, becoming stronger. And you know something? If I have our gentleman, our guest here, Bill Crawford, will be in a minute. Maybe you go to Iceland or you go to Scotland or you go to, like I want to go to Spain and learn how to Basque lift. All these things can transpire off just doing a few things. I mean, I started with a weight, you know, sand weight set like most guys have in a wooden bench, and you just progress. When you love it and you're passionate, that's what's going to happen. So go out there, check all that out. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Like I said, we've got Bill Crawford on here today. Go out and look, go out and do a search for him. Look at all the shows we've got. I mean, I'm looking right now. The Mighty Inverse Stone was the last show we did. We did the Dinny Stones prior to that. We did Lotra and Legenstein, which is located in Iceland. We're talking about here, Half Thor, Bill Anderson, Highland Games, on and on and on, building the grip and arms for stone lifting. You're telling me you can't get a wealth of knowledge off that? That's the way it is. But before we bring Bill in, I'm going to give you a little info on this gentleman. Number one, he's a medical doctor, strongman, Highland Games competitor, stone lifter, writer and speaker, and we're glad to have him here. I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge like everybody on here, and we're going to talk. Bill's going to do another voyage, which I wish I could jump on that train with, and he's going to go to Scotland. They're going to do some stone lifting with Martin Janczyk is going to be one of the people with Bill. Terry Todd, we'll let Bill get in and do that. But, Bill, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Eric.
It's good to have you. Anything I missed, websites, bio, lay it out there, and we're going to get in. I mean, I can't wait to hear about this. We'll get into Scotland stone lifting. So take it away.
Well, thank you, Eric. I think one of the things I always like to mention are the New Hampshire Highland Games, which will be this September 16, 17, and 18. And that's a yearly event. And New Hampshire Highland Games is one of the prestigious and biggest games in the world. And if anybody listening hasn't been, I definitely encourage you to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the way to go. I'll tell you what, I've told Bill, once a few things here break, I would love to come up and do a podcast up there and meet those guys. I mean, that would be a blast because I'm getting invitations all over now where they said, you know, I was just telling them about John Wood, who owns U.S. Wellness Meats. They're coming here with a monster convention here. And he's like, you got to come. You're going to be my guest. You know, maybe you could do 2 or 3 days of podcasting there and meet all these different groups and paleo and athletes and all that. And I was like, hell yeah. And he's like, we'd like you to even speak at it. So, I mean, this is what I want to do. You know, if we can become more mobile next year, you know, with obviously it costs a lot of money unless you get sponsorship to go to these events. I would love to interview some of the people face-to-face that we talked to and obviously new people. Because I told Bill, and I say this with complete confidence, we will be the biggest show you've ever heard. I mean that, and I mean it in a very positive way, because we're going to give back like you've never seen before. And when I've got people like Bill and all the other gentlemen and ladies on here, and it's growing exponentially. Yesterday, we were in, think about it, Norway and Ireland now. We've made inroads with people on the show. Fantastic people. You know, Adrian O'Brien of Ireland and Powell. Veduto out of Norway. I mean, just it's exceptional people. So, Bill, you know, obviously, let's talk about Scotland. I mean, you know, your passion for stones, obviously, to me is I don't think there's many people out there that match how you believe in this stuff and obviously the old school stuff. So let's hit the ground running here.
Hey, so next month I'm planning a trip to Scotland. I'm actually arranged a trip to Scotland with Martin Jancic and David Webster. And we're going to travel to several stone sites, many of which have never really aren't, well, I say never, but really aren't known to the public that often. And through a lot of the research that Peter Martin Jr. had done, as well as David Webster, obviously, definitely we'll see the Inver Stone and lift that. The other one is that, you know, we'll go to, we've gotten permission to go lift the Denny Stones, and I'll be going to the Boyne Highland Games and arranged to have Jack Shanks, the first man to lift the Denny Stones barehanded since Donald Denny. He kind of proved in 1972 that, I'm sorry, 1973, that it is possible to lift the Denny Stones barehanded. Some had done it with straps, but it was thought that it was not physically possible to be done. So people actually questioned if Denny even lifted and much less carried the stones. And then we'll also go to a stone site, Mingus Castle. There's a famous old stone there that sits at a castle that's liftable. And then out to Glen Lyon, to a place called Camas Rockin, mm-hmm. to lift the Clachna Fianna, or the Fianna stone.
Yep.
It's pretty remote. This is the western. This is, you know, western Scotland, out in the deep highlands and in a glen. And then another stone that a lot of people haven't heard about, called the Pewter Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Basically there's a plinth that's called the Pewter Rock that you put the Pewter Rock on. it's just right down from it's just probably about a quarter of a mile away from Rob Ori McGregor's grave.
Okay.
So a very historic site, and there's a story behind that too, that Peter Martin Jr. and Roger Davis had searched for the plinth, and they found the plinth, but no stone. They thought all was lost. And said, well, maybe, wait a minute, this is the middle of a pasture. Maybe the stone was rolled away. So they went out into the brush, and they found the stone.
Ah.
Basically, a farmer had rolled it away because he didn't want his horses or cattle stepping on the stone or getting, you know, tripping on it when it would snow. So
yep.
They've resurrected that stone as well. And there's another whole wealth of stones that have been resurrected in a history as well. So that's, we're going to go just basically recreate those steps and take several days to lift stones. And there's a couple of other stones I'd like to get to. There's one in further north of Scotland, about a half hour north of Inverness, mm-hmm. more correctly Aviemore, and it's called the Barrovin Stone, and actually sits in the cemetery.
Oh wow.
And it's about 115 kilos, about 253 pounds in weight. Very smooth oblong stone that's to be shouldered, and that's another stone we'll go have a go at.
So that's awesome.
That's the trip. Most of the trip really is to you know, I'll be frank with you too. Martin Jancic has done a tremendous amount of work. He's got a website. He's got a website called Historic Scottish Stones.
Yep.
That you can go to, and it's an unbelievable wealth of knowledge. He's updating it frequently. He and I communicate frequently. And the last time I saw Peter Martin was with Martin Jancic 2 years ago. He's, you know, Martin Jancic's work is basically a continuation of Peter's, and it's not to be underlooked. I mean, Martin goes to these sites and actually has an apparatus that he can accurately weigh each of the stones respectfully. He just rolls them up on this nice canvas sling, and then cranks them up and gets an accurate weight in this apparatus that he can assemble right on the site. So the stone is unharmed and it doesn't have to leave where it sits. And
yep.
We can understand exactly how much these stones weigh. We've never really conjecture how much the stone of the Fianna weighed. He asked me, he said, "How much do you think?" I said, 135 kilos, you know,
yep.
Just shy of 300. It was 136.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he gave us the exact weight. So that's the kind of stuff that Martin's doing. And I'm humbled to be able to go over with he and David. David actually resurrected the Denny stones. They were under the Brigadier and Petarch, and they were underneath the bridge. And he and his friend Alex Thompson, who actually has witnessed me lifting the Denny stones before with David and some years ago, and they basically dragged it out of the river and left them in front of the hotel and said, "These are the Denny stones," and had the couplings refitted on the top.
Yep.
So I mean, that's the kind of history we're talking about. These are the men who have taken the time to research them, and they've gone to books and talked to locals. Some of the locals speak Gaelic, or Gaelic, as some people like to say it. If you're in Ireland, they call it Irish. And they've basically gone about and found these stones and understood where they might be and taken the time to find and then prove them. So it's really been a historical investigation as much as it's been about lifting stones.
Yeah. You know, Bill, here's something that, you know, obviously, well, this is real interesting. I'm going to ask you just because of it. You know, you've been lifting stones for a long time, but obviously, what are you doing? I mean, you got to get ready to go over there, and obviously you want to do the best job and lift every stone you can.
Right.
What has your training been like? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've read a number of things with you. You sometimes you seem like you've dropped body weight, then you look like you're back up. You know, we've talked about different movements on the show to make you a better stone lifter, whether it's lifting stones for your grip or, you know, doing the good mornings. And, you know, everybody reads the stuff you write in Milo. And if you pay attention, you're always going to pull some big tips up. So are you approaching anything different with your training this time? Or are you just doing the thing as Szymanski would say, if you want to press more, keep pressing. If you want to lift stones, you know, keep lifting stones. What is your, I mean, you know, you've been in the rodeo a few times now. Are you doing anything different? Have you changed things? Have you discovered new things? So what's going on between now and when you go over to Scotland?
Well, last winter when we first started kicking this idea around, and I dropped body weight. I was like 260, 265, which if anybody knows me, that's
light.
50, 60, 70 pounds lighter than when I've made big trips to Iceland and different things. And, you know, and so I trimmed up. I was actually doing some jogging. I was lifting. I always lift, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sort of the standard is if I can't deadlift 500 pounds, I don't feel like I'm really doing anything. But, you know, and I turned 54 next week, actually.
Wow.
So I had to rethink what I'm doing with my training. So I devised a thing that I actually I got a 2x8, and I nailed a couple of boards to the bottom of it, just sort of like to get it off the ground a little bit. And I just stacked plates, and so I worked that with my fingers and to my fingertips, just to, you know, get my hands strong, because in the wintertime, you know, it's kind of hard to lift natural stones. I've got a couple of natural stones that I lift in the garage anyway. You know, I've got in my gym, but I've built a gym, but you know, to get a full bevy of stones is kind of difficult when it's wintertime. So what I actually did was work on my hand strength first, because I knew my back and hip strength would come quickly because I always train that. So and then I started doing some things like I have a 3-inch manila rope that hangs in my garage that I've done, you know, that I've put up to my son, you know, likes to climb it back and forth. And I think it's a great exercise. I started doing chin-ups on that rope.
Wow.
Hand over hand chin-ups. on that 3-inch rope. And then I also would do I put a 2x8 in my power rack, and mm-hmm. I would do chin ups with my fingertips on that board. And mm-hmm. I started with most of my hand on it, and I got to where it, just putting my as much as of my fingertips on the board as I can, just doing to do the chin ups or even partial chin ups. And if you think about it, stone lifting, and you know this, when you get down and start to lift a big stone, the first place that you feel inadequate is your fingertips.
Yep.
And if you don't have the strength in your hands, the supporting strength, because there's different types of strength. There's crushing strength like a gripper. Yep. And then there's, you know, just to, not to go in all the details about different types, but then there's supporting strength, which you need for stone lifting. So being able to, you know, have a keep your hand in a fixed position with a flexed forearm, or even a straight forearm, but keep your hand flexed is really always a challenge. And that's where people typically fail. So I started there, and then I, you know, just the usual thing. I just started lifting stones as soon as the melt came, and yep. I've been at it pretty hard. I also dedicated myself back to the squat. I got my squat up, and with the squat and drinking more protein and lifting stones,
yep,
my body weight's back up a bit. I think I'm, you know, probably I put on probably a good 25 pounds, but I did it over several months, so I feel pretty good. I'm not back to where I was, and that's not my goal. So as far as lifting the Denny stones, the main thing was I started doing one-handed deadlifts.
Yep.
Quite a bit. I had Mike Zolkowitz, a great Highland Games athlete here back in March with me, and he pulled 4.25 on a barbell, and I pulled 405. I think that's a pretty good one-hand deadlift.
I think so.
with a barbell, because the thing wants to tilt back and forth on you, and I thought that was pretty good. So I looked up the world's record, and it was, I think Steve Angel did like 5.25 with a barbell or something.
That's awesome. That is insane.
Something ridiculous. It might even be more. I think it was actually 555, which I just can't wrap my head around that, but I don't know if he hook gripped or whatever. I don't care what he did, but just with one hand is a fantastic lift. But so, and then just started back with ring deadlifting, you know, and I also got a whole set of Denny replicas that I made that sit in my yard. I took a hammer drill, and you find a balance point in the middle. It's pretty easy to do. You just put the stone up on a two inch board, and tilty one way, and then you mark that spot, and you spin it 90 degrees. And then you see if it tilts one way or another, and you just find a balance point. Then you drill down through it, and I have different pins that I put into it that will support the stone. And so my larger Denny's are one weighs 316, not quite the 320, not quite the 321 that the smaller the Denny's weighs. And then my other one weighs 407, which is pretty much right on the 411 413 that the big Denny stone weighs. So so I just training with those, and then I also do one-handed deadlifts with the ring as well, and I worked up to, you know, put some good weights with that. My hands are really feeling it. They're tougher and stronger. My hands are definitely stronger than the last time I lifted the Denny stones.
Okay.
Because I took more time this time to really look at the look at my hand strength.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was lucky. He doesn't sell them anymore. I was able to get the rings from David Horn for the Denny's, and those things are nasty as hell. One-handed deadlifts, whatever you want to do with those things. You talk about, you talk about digging through your fingers and everything. There's nothing like it, and it's like if you can do the movements, you're going to go over there and explore and lift. I mean, you're much better rather than guessing that I'll do this, that, and the other thing. There's nothing like doing the actual movement with the actual apparatus they're going to use.
I got the my rings by I took a piece of paper the first time I went.
Yeah.
And I traced them.
Cool.
And I measured them across, and I got the diameter, and I came back, and I had somebody make them.
Yep. Well, you know, that's the way to do it. I mean, if you want to train, if you want to go over there and lift those things, you might as well train on the actual ring they use. It's only going to help you out. Bill, how much you said you started squatting again, so mm-hmm. Are we talking rear or fronts?
I do back squats.
Okay, back squats. Mm-hmm. You know, because you hear the assumption that really the front squat is really the way to go if you're going to be a stone lifter. What's your take on that? I mean, you know, I guess it's all preference, but I mean, some people are better. I love back squats. Nothing against fronts. I like them. But if you said you can only do one or the other the rest of your life, I'm always going to pick a back squat. Why the back squat? Do you feel there's more benefits, or is that just your liking, so to speak?
Well, the front squat, I still do front squats.
Okay.
You know, I've curtailed a lot of the Olympic lifting that I do, but one of my favorite workouts is to do clean and jerks and then do front squats, you know?
Yep.
I mean, you want to talk about completely, utterly draining your body of everything you've got in a training session. That's a good one. But back squats to me, especially for, if you're going to go lift the Denny Stones, or if you're going to go lift the Husafell Stone,
yep.
What I call it is hip loading. You know, deadlifts are great because they make your back strong, obviously, and your grip, and they make you tougher. But that's also hip loading. But back squat specifically, to me, will give me the hip strength that I would need to you know, push my feet down and get the Denny Stones up. You know,
yep.
And that's why I specifically focus on the back squat when I'm training heavy for these stones. There's some guys that might actually do a lot more front squats, but I think, you know, any training program, it's just got to include back squats. I mean, it's just, you don't have to. The other thing too is I did write an article, I think it was the March issue of Milo, about, I guess I called it think deep and squat deeper.
Yep.
So, I don't know if you saw that, but
no, I did.
It's funny because I was I do a lot of process work for my hospital. In other words, I help. We've hired process engineers, and we, you know, improve the way that we do things. And I just used a systematic approach. I said, okay, why? You know, I saw a picture of my son took a video of me squatting, and I said, man, I'm cutting that off about 3 inches high. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like I'm going to at least parallel, you know, on the heavier sets, but I was not. So I just went through the whole, I went through it in my brain. I said, I thought about it in my mind. I said, okay, we've got, you know, I've got probably 6 months before I want to get my squat back up to good weights with, you know, and get the parallel or below parallel. And, what's the holdup? What's the problem? So I looked at my shoulder flexibility. I looked at my, you know, my was my back tight? Was it my hips? Was it my knees? And the answer was yes. The answer was yes. So what had happened over time, I'd slowly kept cutting them off. And what happens when you don't do a full, you know, full movement? I love partial movements. So, you know, we've talked about that many times.
I'm with you. Yep.
But you still have to do full movements to keep that range of motion and that flexibility together. So I basically just put my ego down and I just started squatting like it was an exercise. I practiced squats like 2 or 3 times a week. And I mean, I'm talking, I didn't go over 2.25 for for a couple of months.
Yeah. That's
just to get a really high bar squat and make myself get down. And, and one of the things that really helped me break over the top was to do the Anderson squats.
Yep.
Anderson squats is actually 2/3 of your body height.
Yep.
But I did, you know, actually they were dead stops from a bottom. And, it, you know, if you do them correctly, it's just pure, simple torture.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It really helped me stretch out. I was sore in ways I hadn't been sore in years, but it was great because it made me get down.
Well, yeah, because you know what, Bill, being a 300-pound guy or mid-290s now, you and I both know, I'm telling you from my experience, you do those Anderson squats, dead stop. I got news for you. Try to just squeeze under that thing, and then you've got to be able to be right in a position where you're not left or right and come up like a shot. These things are phenomenal. The thing is, they are – I'll say it right out. Those squats, when you start moving weight, it'll literally feel like it's going to split you in half. It's that intense. So
yep.
I think those things are phenomenal. Hey, look, it just like yourself – I'm probably one of the biggest proponents of the power rack. any of this stuff that most people don't even dabble in anymore, and it's so beneficial, especially when you're going over anywhere, Scotland, Iceland, Spain, anywhere you want to go and attempt these big stone feats, and you got to have things like that. All right, so we got the squat going, the body weight's up, you're feeling better, I'm sure you're much faster too, the hands are developed even more. Let me ask you this, because I just talked to Rainer. Hey, do you got chickens in the background, man?
I do. I apologize.
I love it.
but listen, you know what? We got my son has chickens, and the quality of the protein that we get. We also go, you know, this time of year especially, we go get farm fresh vegetables, and
sure.
And we're going to get some creamery milk this morning too. And I can tell you, if you have your own chickens, and you get those eggs are way different than what you buy in a store.
Oh, yeah.
And we feed them a lot of, you know, like vegetable scraps and let them out and let them eat the things around. Trust me, they make eggs that you can't get in a store.
Exactly. Especially, they have them at the co-op.
You know, I laugh about organic. I mean, organic, my gosh. I guess these are organic chickens, you know.
Without a doubt. And here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Everything now they're lacing with soy, and I want everybody to know this. Check anywhere, even if they have organic on it. Ask the person if they know or not if they use soy, any type of soy for these chickens, because if they do, run the other way. You don't want to do that. That is not good for a male or a female. We both know that. But let me ask you this. This is big because this – you know, you're prepared. You know what you got to do. You're obviously going back, and you're going to be lifting some other famous stones. The mental. We know when you get over there. We've been there. The feeling you get, I don't know about anybody, but I was pretty nervous in my stomach in some ways. You know, you look at these monsters that have been there, as far as we know, since forever. You know, eternity, they're going to be there too, long after we're gone. How do you approach these new stones? I mean, obviously you've done plenty, but I'm going to ask you flat out. I mean, and this, you can answer it any way you want. I would think that anybody that doesn't get a little nervous or excited, I mean, you got to be pretty much dead inside if you don't. What do you feel now? You know, you're going over on another excursion. You're going to have an opportunity to tell people, you know, through your writings, you know, obviously people you meet up with, what you're up to, how much fun it was. How do you approach this mentally, Bill? Is this different from other events you've done or what you're feeling, or you're not going to really know until you step on that sacred land, so to speak?
Well, every time you take a journey like this, each one's different. There are different barriers or different goals that you have. So, you're always a little bit nervous. I always ask myself a big question, like just like every time I've touched the Husafell stone, can I lift this? Can I carry it?
Yeah,
you know, with the Denny's, I'll be frank with you. I've trained really, really hard because, you know, I just have that question lies in your mind. Am I still strong enough? Can I do it again?
Yep.
And you just want to, you know, and then like we talked about, you know, I've gotten that much older. But you know, actually, I think I've gotten a little smarter, and I've made myself. My hands are stronger, and my back and hips are definitely still as strong. I think. The issue now is understanding why I'm going on this journey. You know, we're really trying to recreate some things that and do some more research about these stones. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous. But when you do step up and you look at these stones, I've said this before, you become something that you're really not. In other words, I get a little bigger. I feel stronger. It's like King Arthur laying his hands on Excalibur.
Yep.
You know, the truth is in your hands, and you become something that you're not. You know, so one of the things that I wanted to discuss just briefly is that the book of Stones and Strength came out, and it talked about the Clochid Fear. That's a Gallic dialect for manhood stones or testing stones.
Yep.
But as Peter had revealed, there's a lot of different types of stones. They're actually stones that are called they call them the Togalach, which are actually stones that were lifted just purely for competition.
Yep.
And then there were stones that were lifted in commemoration of, say, you know, like the Denny stones would definitely be a stone that would be a commemorative stone. that in Gaelic culture that you would lift a stone just for this and to be remembered for those stones. And then another, then the other type of stones that we do talk about are the stones, the testing stones that would allow the man to be a part of his clan and to have a chance to take his full portion of meat, as they said. So there were different reasons why stones were lifted, and so we're going to try to clarify that with some of these stones. Some of them were just lifted for just pure recreation, you know, for the sake of, it's just a great endeavor. And then later on, it became pretty clear that these were stones that were lifted because, you know, you're building a stone wall and, you know, guys get competitive and they want to lift a bigger and bigger stone. Peter Martin Sr. said that to me. Another thing is that the stones that you look at that are meant for certain types of lifting and might have a history. You might have a history that you don't know about. We recently found out about just before Culloden in 1745, there was a stone actually in Braemar, and some of the Scottish troops were competing with each other, and one laird. His boys were better at stone lifting than another laird, and so they got to take the front in a battlefield. If you know anything about Culloden, that was a bad thing because English wiped everybody out. But you know, there's an entire history there. The other one is that something that we've uncovered. What I really mean is Peter Martin. That there's something called coffin roads that the Gaelic culture actually, and I say Gaelic because there's a difference between Scottish culture and Gaelic culture, frankly. Scottish culture also includes the Lowlanders, but Gaelic culture is the Highlands and the Western Isles. That these stones would sit on coffin roads, and these roads would go to churches. So there's probably some sort of, you know, Scottish people are pretty superstitious. I can tell you that, you know, my personal experience growing up and around people of that extraction and. They're pretty superstitious about things. So there's probably some sort of mythical or mystical quality to lifting stones. That's one of the things that I just innately kind of came across. And I think you probably feel the same thing. Anyone that spent time with natural stones starts to, I don't want to send the listeners off into thinking that we're looking for Sasquatches or something, but you start to understand that these stones are alive in some way.
Yes, they are.
But what they are, they're beacons of history that think about the Fianna stone that people 1500 years ago, men 1500 years ago would have reached down to lift the stone.
Yep.
You know, where else can you find history like that in any sport?
You don't.
You don't.
It's not there.
Unless you go to Olympia and run around the track, you're not going to find any sort of history that matches this kind of depth and historical perspective. Is there another thing? Can you, let's say, who's the sports hero that you admire? You know, let's say the great Muhammad Ali who just died.
Yep.
Do you put on his boxing gloves and go box?
Not really.
You can't. You're not even going to box in the venues he boxed in because nobody's going to book you to go to Madison Square Garden unless you're a super elite boxer. So, but you can go lay your hands on the Denny Stones. You can go lay your hands on the Inver Stone. You can go to these different places and you just need to know where they are and, you know, get on a plane and, you know, get in a car and drive on the wrong side of the road and go find these things.
Yeah, and you know what else, Bill? No disrespect to any of the great athletes in this country or over the world, but I'll tell you what, you and I both know it is a lot. They are alive. They vibrate just like you and I, believe me, and I believe that wholeheartedly. But the thing is, that type of training and lifting is second to none, and you want to get, you know, everybody is always like, well, I really want to get in touch with what I am and this and that. You want to get in touch with what you are? Go and spend some time. Go learn how to lift stones. You know, do the weight work that you have to do to get to Scotland or Iceland. And go and get a taste of it. And it doesn't, to me, you know, things happen. Sometimes you don't always have success, but you always got the opportunity to go back and get it again. And I think that's the beauty of stone lifting and anything that we do. is how many sports can you really say that you can, you see people in their 60s and older doing, whether they're all around events, stone lifting. There's nothing out there that I can think of professionally that can have you going. Because if we look at most of the major sports, unless you're a freak that can hang around till they're 40 years old, let's face it, with the injury projections and everything now that's out there, a lot of these athletes are lucky if they make 3 years in the big leagues, no matter what it is. You don't have to say that about weightlifting unless you've destroyed yourself so bad. But I know people have had catastrophic injuries that still came back and did something. So totally agree with you. I think the opportunity, it's a privilege to go over and lift stones, especially with such history, and to learn it, because it's a lot more interesting than a lot of the stuff we're seeing out in the mainstream world.
Absolutely. You know? And again, it's to go to a place that's so beautiful and essentially mystical. Anybody that's seen, the movies, look at the beginning of Braveheart and watch as they fly over the highlands, and that's exactly where we're diving into, to find these stones and to go lift. And I just feel so privileged to have a chance to go do these kind of things. But then again, here in New Hampshire, I've got a ton of stones. You live in upstate New York. There's a ton of stones to lift. There's a lot of natural stones that you can lift. I was went on vacation a few weeks ago with my family to the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and there, remarkably, there were natural stones all over the Outer Banks. These are spits of islands up and down the North Carolina coast, and I found plenty of stones to train with. We keep going back year to year, and every year I see these stones, I know they're going like, okay, I've been waiting for you patiently through the rain and everything else, and whatever storms have come through, and now in the sunny day, you roll me over and lift me. And that's Martin Jancic just wrote a thing called The Stone recently, and I'd probably like to share that with you at some point. He just sent it to me yesterday, and it talks about that very thing that his perception is that the stones are waiting for him.
Sure.
When he gets there.
Yeah, going to Iceland enough, you don't think that Husafell's got your number, knows who you are? I mean, there's something about touching body to stone and stone to body, sweat, it's exchanging from past people that have been on it. Who knows what's going on with that stone when no one's around, and I'm not saying it's taking on a human presence at all, but there's things going on. It's a live object, man. I don't know what it's radiating out or absorbing. It's a very, very interesting prospect to think about. And, the ones who have been fortunate enough to walk around that sheep pen, the 50 meters, that's something that you can take with you in eternity forever. And I think everybody, and I'm not talking about the way they talk about legacy now with athletes, I'm talking about leaving something that is a true, honest-to-God legacy, that when someone sees that picture of you carrying that stone, they're like, I can't believe that. Look at the size of that thing. And this guy's motoring around the pen like it's nothing. That, to me, is what it's all about. It's an opportunity. It's a way to become part of history, and it's a way to leave something and give back.
Well, that's a very good point you touch on, and that's another thing about Gaelic strength culture. And I say Gaelic in the specific Scottish sense, because we haven't had a chance to research anything in Ireland, and but that's the other big Gaelic-speaking area, aside from Cornwall down in England and obviously Wales. Shout out to our friends in Wales. But, the Basque people are also considered to be Celtic as well.
Yep.
But Gaelic stone lifting in Scotland, the Gaels themselves say, you don't have to talk about yourself. We'll do the talking for you. There's stones that if you could lift, a lot of the stones, you don't have to break them. You don't have to stand up with them or shoulder them or press them over your head. The only thing you had to do was just put air underneath them. And that's what they said, air twixt the earth and the stone.
Yep.
And so, and there's some mighty big stones that's all you want to do is, the 550 pound stones out on the Western Isles if you just lift them from, free of the ground, that's the lift. But the main thing is that they said if someone can lift a stone, to your knees, then you're
then you're adequate. If you can lift, if you can stand up with that same stone, then you're a hero. But you won't tell people you're a hero. We'll do the singing for you. If you're good enough, we'll say that. So, you know, I sign off on a lot of my emails, as you've seen, you know, a humble stone lifter.
Yep.
That's one of the things that I want to reiterate is that instead of, you know, I got pretty fired up when I've done the Husafell stone in the past, but that's their Viking spirit and they like that. Whereas in Scotland, when I've lifted those stones, the way to do it is to do it quietly and allow the people around you to pat you on the back if that's what they want to do or to say that you've lifted that stone. But so if you do lift a certain stone, I don't need other people to praise me, you know, or to even watch, you know, 95% of the time when I've gone to a stone lifting site, you know, we might take some pictures of the thing and we might do it. Or if I go up to the Pemigewasset River here in New Hampshire and lift the stones up in the mountains, and the stream beds, which are epic, by the way, if anyone has a chance to go up there, I just do it by myself and in my, you know, in my stones in my yard, or if I go to other places that I have stones that are deposited that I just go lift these different stones. I just do it myself. If anything else, if people do watch me, they're like, what are you doing? They don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't try to explain it to them. Some people get it and some people don't.
Yeah.
So, but the main thing is you just do it and you do it humbly and you do it reverently. I don't conquer any stone. I feel the privilege of maybe of lifting them. Because the stone has taught me how about myself. The stone will teach you how to lift it if you listen to it. The stone wants to roll over. Listen to it. Let it teach you that lesson. And that's the great thing about the whole thing is that the stone lifting and the endeavor will actually not just make you stronger or say that you lifted this stone or that. That's not the important thing. The important thing is the journey. And that journey is the lessons learned.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, you and I both know preparation is key, good mental thoughts, but when you get there, it's a whole different story. When you step foot on that land, you can feel it. I mean, that first time I went to Iceland with you, when we went to Husafell there, when you got out of the car, man, I mean, you know, I tell everybody, because the second time we went, obviously, you know you're coming in when you can see the cross right on top of the church. There's a gold cross, and you know you're there. And, man, you drive up and you put your feet on the ground. I always equate it to I could just feel rumbling under my feet from past people. I don't know what went on there hundreds of years ago. Who knows? I mean, we've got data. We've got some research. But really, wouldn't it have been cool to be able to step back in time and see the environment around us? So, you know, I always say to people, if you're even wondering, you know, go to Iceland, go to Scotland, look at the famous stuff, look at the culture, whether you're a stone lifter or not. And if you are a stone lifter, take a leap on yourself. You know, maybe you need to get out of this comfort zone you've been in. And as Bill will tell you, I mean, you know, I've read articles Bill said on previous shows, when he went and trained stones, pretty much just stones, even in the bad weather, everything. What do you say? His skin got thicker. His beard got fuller. Musculature that he never had before. There's an awful lot with stones that you can accomplish. And, I mean, you want to get big and strong and thick and have those ligaments and tendons that look like cable. That's your avenue. And I'm not putting anything against weightlifting because you need that too, but there's no reason you can't go on a 3-month tour with stones. I guarantee you'll see everything pick up. Bill, anything else you got? Anything you want to summarize? Anything you want to give out? If you would do that, please, I'll give my information. If you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Again, the New Hampshire Island Games are September 16th to the 18th. We've had Hafþór Bjørnsson of Strongman fame and also the Mountain on Game of Thrones. He's been with us the last couple of years. We're hoping to get him back. Magnus for Magnuson is our main judge. And then, of course, I've got, you know, just the best Highland Games athletes in the world, Daniel McKim, Matt Vincent, Mike Zolkowitz, Andy Vincent, Craig Sinclair of Scotland, Matt Doherty, the Canadian champion. I mean, that's just standard fare for us, and they throw unbelievable marks. You could come to our games and see an all-time world's record in any event, frankly.
Yep.
And And Spencer Tyler just set the world's record in the lightweight for distance. He'll be with us this year. I've literally got guys who are former Olympians or men who are competing in one athlete that's coming is competing in the Olympic trials this weekend.
Yep.
In the discus. So you can see the best strength athletes in the world. We also have, it's a cultural event. So if you've never been to a Highland Games, you come to this one, you're kind of spoiled because we're high in the mountains and yep. New Hampshire and the White Mountains, a beautiful, beautiful area. Very special, very special. So yep. I'd encourage everybody yep. to have come and spend some time with us.
Yeah, and just as a side note, we've had Matt Vincent and Danny McKim on the show already. So we've had
the Drift to Lifta.
Oh yeah. Yeah, great guys too, man.
Oh yeah,
great
I love guys. Those guys. They're some of my favorite people.
Absolutely. Anything else, Bill?
I think that's it. And I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on and talk about stone lifting because there aren't many of us. Like the old Scottish cheer.
Yep.
There's some of us. There's few of us. But there's damn none of us like us.
And I agree. And I've told you before offline, we're going to keep, whether we go through you or keep contacting people or if they reach out to us, I've told you this before, we want this to be like the premier place to come and get all types of stone, whether it's lifting, advice, workouts, being able to contact you gentlemen, whatever it is, because I love this. It's real important, and it's a style of training that's not really mainstream, and I don't like that word, but I'm going to do everything I can to get this mainstream because it's that damn important. And kids coming up, you know, with your son Billy, everything, the changes you can create out of these young men and women, we're not going to stop. I'll just tell you that. So you got everything then, Bill?
Yes, thank you.
Anytime. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. We talk here simplistic, a lot of knowledge. You want to go out and explore things. Well, get on Icelandic Air in a few months and go out after you've trained. Go give it a shot, and I mean a big shot. Go lift that Husafell stone. I guarantee you it will be monumental in your life. It will set you up for the rest of your life. Secondly, obviously, go out to www.motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said before, I read some of the shows Bill and I have done. This show will be up very quickly. Go out there. You're going to find so much stuff out there. I mean, I don't know anybody that's got a catalog like this out here. And as Clint Darden said to me and many other people, whether you did it by accident or on purpose, we've never seen a podcast, a radio show that has ever gotten all these different genres of people together, and you've pulled it off. And I thank everybody for that because that's quite a compliment. I don't know. As Bill said before, with innate intelligence, thoughts, I listen to myself. People told us, if you can believe it, 2 years ago for me not to ever bother doing a podcast show. It's a waste of time. Well, here we are coming up to 500, which will probably be by the end of August. Think about how monumental that is. Now we are streaming 24/7, and you're going to see even more bigger things coming out of here. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. I thank everybody for that. If there's a show you'd like Bill and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them any type of help, wisdom, inspiration. Words can change things big time for the better. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And if you're going to go out and lift today or tonight, bend it, break it, push it, press it, squat it. And if you're going to lift some stones, turn them into dust, literally. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says, which I'll be out with in about an hour and a half. We've got two people over here that I'm coaching. It says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We don't follow the path. We clear cut our own. And as I say in everything I write at the end now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do. Obliterate those goals because they're steps to getting to what you really want and set new ones. And obviously dent. And when I say dent, we all have nights that maybe don't go so well. The dent is inside your brain, 6 inches between your ears. Tell it. you're going to get in another night and defeat it. Very important. I live by those words. Also, too, as Russell Fur says, who's been a guest on the show and has listened to Eminem since day one, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. That was a great compliment. I appreciate that, Russell, and we will say that for the next 30 years. Bill Crawford, excellent show. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for you anyways. We'll have Bill on. We hopefully can get him on next month. We want to get him on regular here again. We'll see what happens with scheduling with everything. We're both very busy, but we will get him on because he's a great guy to have on the show and an asset to our family here. So for Bill Crawford, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. And you know what? Go out and just be spectacular. Seriously, it's not that hard. Go out and do that. Be something more than everybody else is out there. And we will talk to you soon, and have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.